Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing? Hey, friend, though, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Hey, you know what? Because I was telling people that, hey, you know what? Leave a rating or review if you want to support the show. We got bumped up to like 121 in the iTunes podcast sports and rec category rankings. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
So later on today, I'm going to give a shout-out to our new patrons right before we do questions. Tomorrow, I'm going to give a shout-out to the people who left a rating. I'm sorry, a review. I can't give a shout-out if you just leave a rating.
I don't think.
But a review, I'm going to give a shout-out to the people who did that. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's awesome. All you people are awesome for supporting it. Speaking of supporting Going In Raw, we're going to give a shout-out to our sponsor, the Original Craft Beer Club. We want to say thank you to the Original Craft Beer Club. The Original Craft Beer Club discovers exceptional craft brews from around the country and delivers them to your door, or you can get it as a gift for someone and send it to their door. Guess who? Your birthday already went by, Larson.
Yeah, yours is coming up, though.
I got a birthday coming up, so you can send it to Steve here's door. I can drink beer. But we've got also got like a discount thing. You want to read that? Oh, you don't have it up here. Going In Raw listeners can now get $10 off orders of 3 months or more by going to craftbeerclub.com/Going In Raw, all one word. The link is in the description. You'll be supporting Going In Raw by clicking the link. So if you don't want to be like a patron, if you don't feel like leaving a review, if you want to sponsor, if you want to help support the show, click on that link that's right there at the top of the description.
Yeah, we'll go into more detail about the Original Craft Beer Club later on the show.
Yeah, we were drinking that Original Craft Beer Club beer during SummerSlam.
Yep.
It was tasty. We're also, like I said earlier, on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got a bunch of people watching right now in chat. Today is Chat Trivia Day.
It is.
So during the Going In Raw post show, for all you patrons, we're going to be doing Chat Trivia
after the show.
That's correct. So that's a lot of fun. And we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. We got a bunch of t-shirts over there. You can check it out, prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. We got a great bunch of great designs. We've actually sold a couple.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if because I said the other day we unlock more designs.
That's true. Yeah.
If we sell more shirts.
Yeah, the more. So if you go buy a couple shirts, you're going to be potentially unlocking new designs.
Yep.
Already got a bunch up here in the old noggin.
Yeah, and I think I promised her, the first one that will be up, Cold Water Larson.
Yeah.
That will be up once we unlock new design.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Let's talk about SmackDown, Steve.
I was absolutely delighted by SmackDown last night, Larson.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Whoa! So what did you like better, Raw or SmackDown? Just get that out of the way.
Probably SmackDown.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it was SmackDown by a mile.
But you also actively disliked Raw.
Hold on a second. Actively disliked it? I disliked it. Is there a difference between actively disliking and just disliking it?
Can you passively dislike something?
Yeah, I think that's what I did.
I mean, you told me you thought it was trash.
Yeah, it was garbage.
So that seems like active dislike.
Yeah, okay, all right. You got me there. I actively loved SmackDown last night. I thought it was fantastic. There was a lot of good stuff going on. So that was my opinion.
Yeah, it was fine.
Show's done. Show's over.
Yeah, see you later. Time for chat trivia.
I'm just anxious to get to chat trivia. All right, well, let's kick off. Let's start.
Yeah,
the
show
top of the
started
show.
Off with AJ Styles, still United States champion, walking out to the ring.
There was a lot of moments that I thought were, I'm not going to say unintentionally hilarious. Well, yeah, there are a couple moments that I thought were unintentionally hilarious, but not in a way that the WWE, like, they look like fools or
what
anything.
What was unintentionally hilarious about this segment?
Oh, not this segment necessarily, but Baron Corbin being the guest ref.
Oh, yeah.
And especially how that resolved itself. I was cracking up. I was so tickled by it. The entire episode of SmackDown, I was just tickled. So, yeah, AJ Styles comes out. He says, the U.S. title open challenge is back, and it starts right now. And I know a lot of people in the crowd thought, okay, it might be Bobby Roode, it might be Shelton Benjamin.
Nope, it was Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I saw that coming from a mile away.
So he comes out, and he goes into great detail. Shane comes out.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Owens goes into great detail about how he should have won the match at SummerSlam because there was a spot where Kevin Owens powerbombed AJ Styles near the ropes.
Right.
AJ put his foot on the ropes pretty much as soon as Owens attempted the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Shane didn't see it until his hand was falling to the mat to count to three count.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kevin Owens says, how come I didn't win? You counted three.
Well, he said, you know, remember the week that Mike Chioda was out there.
Ref decision stands.
Exactly. And so Shane was saying, no, the ref decision does stand in that I waved off my decision.
Yeah.
So so there was all that back and forth. AJ Styles interrupted and said, well, you're a whiny little bitch. Whoa! Flagged, demonetized AJ Styles. So he got the little yellow icon right there. First thing, I was like, oh, I'm very tickled right now because he called him a whiny little bitch. Whoa.
Yeah, you don't hear that very often on WWE television.
No, you don't. Wow. But anyways, AJ was so pumped up that he was willing to accept not only another match with Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens' demand that he gets to choose his own referee. And AJ Styles, I don't care if it's your mom. You're still going to lose.
Yep.
Wow. So that led to sort of a running theme through the night, Kevin Owens trying to find himself.
Yeah, that was all really good.
A guest referee, and it was all really good, and the cameo from the Fashion Police was my favorite. That was
fantastic.
To be continued. Not continued. Continue walking. I loved it. I love it.
After that opening promo, we go to Daniel Bryan backstage. In walk the Singh brothers.
They're there.
And
to
they
show
introduce Jinder Mahal.
Introduced to Daniel Bryan. Who did? Jinder's got to be standing like 2 feet away off camera.
Well, far enough just so he's not in the shot. It could be 6 inches.
Exactly. And so they introduce Jinder Mahal. He comes into the shot. He looks like a million bucks,
yeah,
by
does.
The way. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, he looks great.
A black suit with like a maroon, like a burgundy tie. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So at the end of all this, Daniel Bryan told the Singh brothers they'll be facing Nakamura.
If they seem to get involved in all the action, they're going to have their own fight against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. In a handicap match later on the evening.
That match tickled me to death, too. And I'll tell you why when we get to it. Next up, we had Kevin Owens backstage.
The first of these running vignettes where Kevin Owens will walk up to somebody and ask them to be the ref, essentially. Mm-hmm. First was Sami Zayn.
Yes.
And Kevin Owens walks up with a really, very, you know, like conciliatory tone, trying to make peace with Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of problems in the past.
Correct.
And Sami, you know, says, I'll think about it.
Yeah,
but so I've been watching your DVD. Sami Zayn says, I've been watching your DVD, the Kevin Owens story. And it's like, I see us fighting so long, I kind of forget what we're fighting for. Kevin goes, yeah, that's right. Let's just forget about all that.
Let's stop fighting. Let's stop fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then he says, here's the thing. Since you got to SmackDown, you haven't been doing a lot.
Yeah.
So you should help me out and be a guest ref. probably wasn't the approach.
Yeah, that's probably not the right way to go about
things. Be a dick about things, though. Next up, we had
Aiden English comes
spotlight
out.
Spotlight on Aiden English.
Seeing he had new pants. I believe it was Edvard Munch's The Scream was on his pants this time. So he starts singing. House lights go down.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the piano chord. Boom.
Crowd pops.
Goes
massively.
Ballistic. Yeah. Bobby Roode.
You know what? So you have a problem with this.
A bit.
Yeah, you got a problem with this whole... I didn't necessarily... I thought it wasn't as effective. There's little things and there's one big thing that kind of bugs me
about. It
wasn't
as effective or as impactful, I think, as it could have been. For me, there's three things.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'll do them in order of, in my mind, importance. One, Bobby Roode is very much playing the face. He's a glorious heel. I understand why he's going to make his debut.
Necessary.
Pop.
It's necessary.
The crowd, it won't... There's nothing he can do to get
nothing
heat.
Nothing anybody could have done
to get heat.
Yeah.
So I understand why. Bugged me a little bit.
Okay.
Two, I feel like it should have been pretty much a squash match. I feel like when Aiden English did his bow before the match started and Bobby Roode kicked him, he should have DDT'd him right there.
Yeah.
End of the match. Impact.
That I don't necessarily disagree with, although I think a case could be made for the actual competitive match it was. Bobby Roode is not like a Braun Strowman type. He's not the guy who comes in and immediately destroys people. He's a tactician. He doesn't need
but also
to have
he takes advantage of opportunities, and when someone bows in front of you, and all he did was kick him,
mm-hmm.
You could have DDT'd him.
Yeah, and that's why I will agree with your point on the grounds that it would have been an impactful, glorious DDT, kicking his music, crowd would have been going ballistic.
And then he can do his promo or his interview with Renee Young.
I agree completely. That's how it should have been booked.
Third, and this one really bugged me. If you're going to have a match, a full-on match, why do you take a commercial break in the middle of Bobby Roode's debut?
Yeah.
His first match on SmackDown. You immediately make the match seem kind of unimportant.
Pedestrian.
By having a commercial break right in the middle.
Yeah.
Terrible idea.
I don't disagree with that. I'm on board with pretty much everything you said, except for the him being heel thing. There's no way around. You cannot complain about something there's no way around. That's the thing.
I can.
Well,
I just did.
You just did. here's like one of my only problems with it. And I think the squash match thing, yeah. I have two problems. One big problem and one really, really minor problem, like infinitesimal. I don't like, once again, they have changed his entrance.
Yeah.
There's two things about that bug me.
Well, there's a couple things about the change of the entrance that I like. I like all the fog. I like the lights.
Well, that's not really a change, then.
It's a slight change.
Okay.
It's an improved production.
They made it back. Yeah, improved production. Okay, yeah.
They went back to his original Titantron package, as opposed to the one you had at TakeOver last.
Mm.
But the addition of the Glorious in the Titantron.
Oh, that I didn't like.
Awful.
Because he turns around, and I hope they don't do this every week. He turns around, and it just sort of slides in.
And it's the worst animation.
It looks like a Windows 95 screensaver animation.
It's really
bad. It looks terrible. Here's my other thing that really bugged the crap out of me. When he got in, now there's two things. This is a really small one. When he got into the ring, he didn't do the I love the bouncing off the ropes thing
too.
Because he kind of dances back and
like
it goes
too.
With the music.
I noticed that
in this
too.
Case, they just had him do this, which is like too Randy Orton for my taste. So yeah, that really bugged me because I really love the bouncing off the ropes thing.
Yeah, I do too.
But I will say this. This is what bugged me. Is that he wasn't immediately launched into some big thing with some big person. And that could be any number of things. But you didn't immediately feel like he was the main event player that he is. He should immediately...
Apart from him saying that whatever he's involved in is box office.
Right, exactly.
After the match, yeah.
And I know it will be a matter of weeks, if not a week, before he is launched into something that big. But... I really would have liked to have seen something, a number one contendership match of some sort,
or
he has entered into it as sort of a mystery thing,
how
maybe.
How about this? How about, the opening segment goes as booked between AJ and Kevin Owens,
mm-hmm.
and maybe at the end of that, bong.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He walks out.
Yeah.
And just delivers a promo saying, "Why are you two fighting?"
Right, exactly.
The real box office is right here.
Yeah.
Once you two are done fighting... I got dibs.
That is exactly the kind of debut he should have made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bigger... That was the bigger thing for me, was I kind of understand you're sort of introducing him to smack. It should have been bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely agree. I agree.
So, yeah, we're on the same page there. That being said, it was, I mean, just the sight of him coming to SmackDown, the entire arena, the look on Bobby Roode's face, who really couldn't. He couldn't stay in heel Bobby Roode character.
He seemed very delighted.
He seemed very tickled by the response that he got in. And again, it's validation for the NXT way of doing things. Introduce them, as you like to say, establish their own brand on that show.
Yep.
Familiarize the
audience. Establish their character.
Exactly, yeah. So I like all that. I said from day one that Bobby Roode was immediately ready for Maine. However, going the NXT route simply adds to your guy.
He won with the glorious DDT in a match that took way too long.
Yeah.
And then he gave a short interview with Renee Young after the match.
Yeah.
Said that, you know, whatever he's involved in, box office.
Box office.
Shane and Daniel broke the bank to bring the hottest free agent in wrestling to SmackDown.
Yeah, I liked all that, too.
And SmackDown was great, but now it's glorious.
Yes, correct.
So I wonder if he's going to address at all his title loss in NXT. I think I read something this morning that he's still going to do a few more dates to wrap up storyline, which would make sense. He needs to have a blow off with Roderick Strong.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's plenty of precedent for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Next up, we had Daniel Bryan and Chad Gable backstage, where Daniel Bryan introduced Chad Gable's new tag team partner. He says, you know, we didn't get nothing for Jason Jordan, even though you could consider that like a salary dump. they did, you know, they did benefit from it. They got rid of Jason Jordan. He says, Kurt Angle agreed to help me sign one of his friends. Here he is, Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin comes in to frame. We're all very happy, and Chad Gable is especially happy.
So yeah.
He's going to be your new tag team partner. And Chad Gable starts marking out saying, you know, I've been following your stuff since college. And Shelton Benjamin says, you know, I've been following your career kind of too. And then Chad Gable very excitedly, or Daniel Bryan says, you guys are going to be, you know,
have a match next week.
Exactly. Chad Gable is very excited about that. And he goes off, and Shelton Benjamin sort of like, as you would with like a very excited puppy dog, you know, gives Daniel Bryan a look of, oh, you know, here I am. Daniel Bryan says, welcome to SmackDown. And it was great. I loved it. I really hope they do sort of like a, I'm too old for this shit kind of thing with Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
I think that'd kind of be the way to go.
Yeah,
you know, the old, wizened, veteran guy and happy, excited, scrappy dude.
The energy,
you know? Yeah,
of Chad Gable, yes.
There's. I think the SmackDown, right, there's a lot of room for fun there.
Yes.
With those guys.
Agreed. After that, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, again, backstage. Kevin Owens hands Sami a referee shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And Sami says, you know, no, not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That was the end of Kevin Owens trying to convince Sami Zayn to be the ref for that match. After that, Hype Bros versus the Usos.
Yeah, only one Hype Bro was wearing his Hype Bro outfit. The other one was not wearing Hype Bro outfit, Zack Ryder. But they seemed happy. I still get the feeling, like, even after all this time, that Zack Ryder would rather be single man.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to...
I mean, that's the impression I've gotten the entire time he's been a Hype Bro.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Back to NXT. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he feels like that for both guys, but Mojo will never show that on his face.
Mojo's
too much of a professional.
Yeah. Usos went over. Jimmy Uso pinned Zack Ryder after a super kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the match, the Usos dropped the promo.
Yeah.
Usos are really good.
No, I love the Usos. They're great. Who would have thought I'd ever say that, but I love the Usos. They're great. Next up, we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Bollywood Boys, the Singh Brothers. I was cracking up, dude. Number one, they showed up in their dress attire, in their Sunday best, not in ring gear.
Yeah, I know.
So that's one thing. And the other thing is, why didn't they just bum rush Shinsuke Nakamura? Why did they approach him like they were like ninjas in a generic ninjas in a karate movie?
I mean,
they're going like this, and Shinsuke has all the time in the world to take him on one on one.
It's because
they should have just rushed him.
Because he's still the premier striker in all WWE.
They should have just rushed him. Why didn't they just rush him? Why didn't they just rush him and both go flying at him at the same time? He can't take them both out at the same time.
He could. A couple strikes.
If you have two guys coming at you like, wait, you going to do this?
Just like that.
Okay, all right. Proven wrong. Point taken. Still, I thought it was really fun. I thought it was hilarious. Because they really did. It really did. It looked kind of like a Bollywood movie. It looked like their origin story. It did. All we needed was like the crazy cool dancing.
Well, I think they were just proceeding with caution because Nakamura is a legitimate fighter.
Well, yes, that's what they were doing. I'm just saying, there's two of them. Bum rush them, and you know you might be able to tackle them. That's a better option than slowly approaching them, knowing that you're in a fight.
Well, actually,
it's a better option.
What they should have done is one slowly approach. Have him be the center of attention, then the other one.
Yeah, stagger it.
Bum
yeah.
rush from behind.
Or one guy, like, attacks his knee, the other guy waits a second and then goes after, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you have one dude on your knee.
Both of them should not bum rush. One should take the focus, other one bum rush.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. Yeah, there you go. See, we're on the compromise. We're on the same page now. Shinsuke ended up winning. And it was funny because he was treating them both as one man. Like, you know,
yeah,
he
stacked
would,
them up
he would
for the knee
them
in the
up.
Corner
yeah.
and for good vibration.
He gave him the good vibration. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Shinsuke won by submission. Who did he submit?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. One of
with
them.
A triangle. And then Jinder gets in the ring.
I don't even know their names, to be honest with you.
Attacks them. And then
Irv? Gerv?
No, that's when they were the Bollywood boys. They have different names now.
Oh, they have different first names, too?
Yeah.
It's not Irv and Gerv?
No.
Gerv. Get myself in trouble.
So Kinshasa to Jinder.
Yeah.
Shinsuke stands tall.
So this continues. This is great. It continues relating to what's their next pay-per-view?
I don't know if SmackDown has one in September. I know there's No Mercy. That's a Raw show.
Yeah.
So it would have to be Hell in the Cell is the next one I know of for sure. That's a SmackDown pay-per-view, but that's not till October.
Okay, well, it's going to be October then. Yeah. So they're not going to have one in September.
Hold on one second. Let me double check. It seems
because on the show last night, dude, if they're not advertising one
they weren't.
For September, because they were advertising No Mercy last night during SmackDown.
Yeah, so maybe SmackDown isn't getting a
they're not going to get an October one.
Early September one, you mean?
Yeah, that'd have to be 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, there's nothing confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
Next confirmed is October 8th.
Oh, so just after No Mercy. Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
They start their pay-per-view schedule again a month after SummerSlam and then go every 2 weeks at that point, probably.
Yeah, they don't have anything announced.
And then TLC is 2 weeks after Hell in a Cell, and that's the Raw one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a month after that, Survivor Series, and then the only one after that confirmed is Clash of Champions.
No Mercy.
So, yeah, they got a whole month plus to build up for a title change.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is.
Anyways, before we move on to the next bit of the show, we're going to talk about today's sponsor. It's the Original Craft Beer Club. The Original Craft Beer Club discovers exceptional craft brews from around the country and delivers them to your door or a gift recipient's door. It's my birthday coming up. It's my birthday soon. Makes a great gift for Steve's birthday, Steve's anniversaries, or Steve holidays. Steve Day.
Steve Day? Is that what your birthday is going to be, really? Each beer,
Beer Mask.
Each beer featured is from a small independent craft brewery with limited distribution. What does that mean?
It means it doesn't go everywhere. Limited.
Hard
the distribution
to find it.
Is
hard
limited.
To find it. Each shipment contains 12 12-ounce beers from two featured breweries, with each brewery offering two different styles. What's great is, say, you live on the East Coast.
We don't live on the East Coast. We live on the West Coast.
I'm not talking about us.
Oh.
Not you as in Steve.
The royal you.
Sure. Say you, not Steve, but you,
right.
Listening to the show, live on the East Coast. You don't have access to craft breweries in California, but with the Original Craft Beer Club, you can discover great beers that you may otherwise never get to try.
Nice. And it's not just some... It's not like Steven Larson's beer out of my garage. It's high-quality stuff. A lot of these beers have been in major craft beer competitions. They all have high ratings. And each month, the selected craft breweries are located states apart, so there's no chance of distribution overlap.
Yeah, shipments also include a monthly newsletter that has a story behind the beer, what's in it, and where it originated, and includes recipes to try with selected brews and some beer trivia.
And it's always free shipping. There's no membership fee or obligation. And new members can receive up to 3 free bonus gifts. That's more than any other beer club, Larson. It includes a 1-year subscription to Beer Connoisseur e-magazine, a bottle opener, and a coaster collection of 4 coasters.
Yeah, and Going In Raw listeners can now get $10 off orders of 3 months or more by going to www.craftbeerclub.com/goinginraw.
Again, go to www.craftbeerclub.com/goinginraw, all one word, to get $10 off an order of 3 months or more. And once again, thank you very much, Original Craft Beer Club, for sponsoring Going In Raw. If you guys want to help support us, then click on that link in the description and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting back to the show. Next up, we had Kevin Owens backstage. It's one of my favorite segments of a show that had a lot of great segments. He was they approached him.
Yeah, they wanted to be special guest ref, right?
Exactly. They were wearing rompers.
Romp him.
Romp hims. And they're trying to give Kevin reasons as to why they'd make a great guest referees. And one of them was, I think Fandango said, "Yes, and we make sexy zebras." And they fist bumped on that one. And Kevin Owens immediately got mad at them, started yelling at them, and they started walking away. And Tyler Breeze said, "To be continued." And he said, "No, not continued. Continue walking." I was cracking.
Oh, that's so good.
I was cracking up. But then, right on the heels of that, Kevin Owens got a very awkward hand pat on the shoulder, which he looked annoyed by. And it was Baron Corbin.
He just says, "If you win, I get first crack at U.S. title."
Exactly.
And Kevin Owens said, "All right, fine."
Yeah, fine. You get to be guest
so
ref.
So Baron Corbin is guest referee.
I'm ref now, guest.
But now that he is a ref, he can criticize what refs do.
Exactly. Now he can criticize. You know what, man? It bugs the crap out of me, though. I saw some idiot on Twitter. I'm sure Baron Corbin gets this a lot. But just like, I don't know, it's just a guy talking crap to Baron Corbin, and Corbin talked like a little bit of crap back. And I'm like, why? Why would anybody on Twitter tag Baron Corbin and say, "Hey, you're a crap performer"? Like, I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
It's one thing, hey, you know, we're buddies, we're sitting here talking. We're on a podcast, so it's kind of like, hey, we're all buddies talking. And it's one thing for us to critique the product that we're watching. At no point have I tagged Baron Corbin in a tweet saying, "You're not a good performer. Hey, dude, you don't know." I forget what it was. "Hey, you're just not good at pro wrestling." Like, what satisfaction exactly are you getting out of that?
I know.
That's the thing that bugs the crap out of me. It's one thing to sit here and criticize the movie, actors, wrestlers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Performers. But it's another thing to go at them on Twitter. That's the exact wrong crap about, social media.
Yeah,
bugs
agreed.
The crap out of me.
Me too.
Why would it, like, that's the most classless thing you could possibly do.
I know. So, I don't get it.
I don't know.
Next.
From what I understand also, though, apparently Cannon Grant got blocked by Baron Corbin, I think on, like, Instagram or something. Maybe he was on Twitter. But he says, "I didn't even tag the guy."
Hmm.
And so it's one thing if Baron or whoever is out there actively searching for his name if he's not being tagged. That's one thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, okay, well, whatever. It's another thing if you're tagging the guy, trying to talk to him just to tell him, "Hey, you're crap."
Yeah.
I don't know. Be, you know, it's entertainment.
I know.
Have a little more class.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Next.
That's my soapbox, Lars.
There was
it annoyed me.
Scheduled match between Natalya and Carmella against Naomi and Becky Lynch. Before the match, Natalya came out and dropped the promo.
Yeah.
And then Carmella came out and dropped the promo.
Oh, man.
And it was good.
Carmella looked amazing. That new singlet she has on with that big dollar sign on it. And so I love good black and white design.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a million bucks with that thing on, man. She looks like a champion at this point.
Well, and her promo was really good.
No,
too.
I know. I liked it. I liked the story of her. Like, she's tag teaming with Natalya.
I know.
He could so screw over her.
Oh, that was the whole story of the match, yeah.
That was what she was saying. That was the entire story of the match. I thought it was good. It was good.
The match itself was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
About, I don't know, a third of the way through, Carmella got off the apron and just kind of milled about on the floor for a bit. And then she was considering cashing in.
Yeah.
And at one point, Natalya seemed like she was ready to get pinned. Instead, she got back on the apron. When she wasn't paying attention, Natalya tagged her in, so she had to come in, and eventually she got pinned by Naomi after a split-legged moonsault.
I like this, man. I liked it, because, I mean, Naomi is traditionally a heel. Well, lately she has been.
Who?
I'm sorry, Natalya.
Yes.
Yeah, who did I say? Naomi. Yeah, sorry, Natalya. I was making the point of why I'm glad they took the title off Naomi at SummerSlam in order to tell the story of the cash-in this way, as opposed to your traditional, face gets beat up, you know, by a heel, and then the cash-in happens.
Yeah.
This is kind of different. This is like a good way to have a heel-on-heel type cash-in.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different. I like it, too.
Yeah.
After that, Dolph is back.
What was that? This was borderline when Jack Swagger showed up on SmackDown and said, "The Rolling Stones!" And everybody's like, "What?"
Yeah,
where?
Dolph was talking about how you get ahead in WWE by And he listed, like, every gimmick.
He listed, like, 20 different things that people are currently doing in the WWE.
And then he said, next week, I'm going to do all that. So is he going to be every gimmick?
Right. Something tells me this is going to be time spent that could be better used on Ty Dillinger, Sami Zayn, even the Kanellises. Where's Luke Harper been? This is time spent that could be spent on other people. Instead, we're going to get some lame Dolph Meta thing.
Yeah.
That is, like, not very funny.
No.
Not very good. Not well executed.
Yeah, that promo was all over the place, confusing.
Way too long.
Yes.
Way too long.
And I didn't really feel like he really even had a good point.
He didn't. It was Dolph's way. It's like, so essentially what you're saying is, Dolph, people do unique things to get ahead or to stand out in the WWE.
But what he doesn't mention is behind all those gimmicks is personality.
Right, exactly.
And as we saw through that promo, granted, we've seen personality from Dolph.
Dude.
As we see from that promo, the personality that he really needs to work on.
He just comes off as whiny. And that's And here's the thing.
That's what I mean. Like, in the past, we've seen, like, when he was 4 years ago and he was a heel.
Yeah.
There was personality behind his character.
When it was him and AJ Lee and then Big E. Oh, I loved it.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
There was personality there. Now, the last 2 years, it's just whiny Dolph.
It's bitter, like failed stand-up comedian guy.
That's exactly what it is.
He's just mad that everybody else is getting screen time and he's not. I want the best for Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really do. But if this is what creative behind him and then the delivery that he's going to give us, he's just not... He can't pull this off and make me care.
Yeah.
He can't, like, there are things Dolph can do to make me care. Like, his feud with The Miz.
Was spectacular.
There are things he can do to make me care. He can deliver passion, like the passionate, overlooked guy, you know, that just wants to fight.
Without being whiny about it.
He can pull that off.
Yeah.
But, man, this is not a good fit for him.
No.
But... wait and see. I'm not optimistic.
I just hope it literally is. He has a little bit of every gimmick.
I would at least that would be funny.
Yeah.
I might be tickled by that.
Yeah.
If it's overwhelmingly stupid, I'll be tickled by it.
I hope you too.
I don't know what that means, though.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I just interpret it when he said he's going to do all that next week. I assume. Okay.
Literally, that's how I interpret
every gimmick.
He's going to be every gimmick. I don't know how you do that. But I'll watch it. That was great. I just flipped back to the live stream.
And you're catching up to real time.
Yeah, we were like like a Benny Hill skit. Anyways, next up we had Lana and Tamina backstage. I literally just tuned out during this.
Oh, really?
I was sitting there watching, and Lana was talking about what Tamina's motivation should be. Is that right?
Kind of, yeah. She was trying to channel or put Tamina in a mindset to focus her intensity. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was pretty decent.
People think that you're, like, people overlook you because they think you're different.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Because at first, I kind of tuned out, too. Because I was trying to get fun wrestling up. And then I was listening to what Lana was saying. I was like, okay, where is this going?
Yeah.
By the end of it, and I thought Tamina's performance was believable. So when she opened her eyes, she looked intense.
Yeah, that was good, I think.
If this is the direction they're going.
Yeah. Somebody, I'm sorry.
I'll pay attention.
Somebody in chat. No, I like the direction. It's just Lana being serious. Just, I don't know. I just started to now. Somebody mentioned that Dolph was in a Cricket Wireless commercial.
Yeah.
Which I didn't notice.
Yeah.
But I did notice the Fashion Police's.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was great. I want more Fashion Files that look like that.
Yeah.
They're, like, filmed like that.
Yes.
Because that was good stuff. And Alexa Bliss, she looked great. Eating some pizza. She probably never does that. Anyways. And 20 chicken McNuggets.
But anyway, I think at the end of this, Lana said that Tamina would have a match next week where they would start on the process.
It's good.
Of getting her into title
Tamina
contention.
Story, Lana has
something
to do. It's good.
Exactly.
I'm happy with it. I just tune out a little bit. Sometimes I tune out. Yeah. Can't hold my attention for everything.
Sometimes you got to do other things.
No, I was literally sitting there watching it, and I was like,
Oh, okay. He just zoned out, literally.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
But by the end, they got you back, right?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, the show did.
But not
like,
that
then
segment,
I tuned in
for
Ray J Styles. Because, like, sort of in the back of my mind, I heard her talking. So I was kind of picking up on what was going on. Look, man, I'm sorry. I don't tell you. We watch a lot of wrestling. Next up, we had AJ Styles and Baron Corbin backstage. So Baron was basically trying to broker deals in his awkward way.
Yeah.
And AJ said, look, dude, when I win the match tonight, the open challenge will be a weekly thing. You just step up to the challenge and you will have it. And then Baron Corbin gave him a big slap on the back and said, okay, champ. Or something like that.
Okay, champ.
Okay, champ. Okay, AJ. He had, like, the sleeves cut off the ref shirt.
I know. It was funny to see when Shane put it on. It was at least three sizes too large for him. That was crazy. Anyway, getting ahead of our stuff. Main event, AJ versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens' last try for the U.S. title as long as AJ Styles.
Yeah, they made that clear in the intro. Yeah. We didn't make that clear, but they made that clear in the intro that this would be...
That's what Shane said. This would be your last title shot as long as AJ was champion.
Right, exactly.
Decent enough match. I still feel like they just needed to let these two guys just put on a five-star match.
I know. Once
already.
Again, we get another special guest referee, and this time it's Baron Corbin. Baron, to his credit, number one, wasn't doing a lot of reffing. Every time I would sort of look at the TV or every time I'd notice him, he would just sort of be looking around, seeing what was going on. I don't think he's really been trained.
His count was a little fast.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't, like, he wasn't going out of his way.
No.
You know, he understands. I think he understood. His character understood that with Kevin Owens, he'd get a shot. With AJ Styles, he'd get a shot.
Yeah.
He really doesn't have, you know, what a horse in the race, if you will.
Yeah.
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 So there was that.
Kevin Owens tried to take advantage of the situation a couple times. He pushed AJ into Corbin, I believe.
Right, right.
And then Corbin pushed AJ, and then Owens tried for a roll-up attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of similar to spots that happened at SummerSlam. I might be confusing him right now.
I just like the when Corbin would say, "You can't, don't, I'm the ref. You're not me.
And he'd point
I'm ref."
He pointed at his ref badge.
"I'm ref badge. This is me."
After one Corbin fast count or something, Shane ran out.
Right, yeah. Corbin at that point was pissed off at AJ, so he started to fast count him.
So Shane comes out and says, "You can't do that."
You can't.
At one point, when Baron was trying to count a pinfall, Shane pulls him out of the ring.
Yeah,
Owens hit AJ with a low blow while they were arguing.
Yeah.
Owens goes for the pin. Shane pulls Corbin out of the ring.
Corbin starts yelling at Shane, at which point I was completely and thoroughly tickled because Corbin was saying things like, "I do what I want to do. I'm ref." And Shane was like, Shane's giving the low blow sign. He's like, "You can't count that. It's low blow." And so Baron Corbin takes off the shirt.
He quits.
"You take it."
He quits.
He quits. And then Kevin Owens starts, "Baron! Baron! Please don't leave me." I was cracking up. I thought it was great. I thought it was a high moment for Baron Corbin after he's had a lot of low moments lately.
Oh, yes.
Quitting mid-match, I thought was fantastic.
That was pretty funny.
As referee Corbin.
AJ wins with the phenomenal forearm, retains the title.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens out of the title picture for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I thought it was good, man.
Hopefully next week Bobby Roode will answer the U.S. Open Challenge.
Yeah, I wonder.
That program.
Who's going to do it next week? I wonder. Hopefully.
And build up to a match between the two of them at Hell in a Cell.
I don't want them to mill about on Bobby Roode too much. I don't want like him next week to take on, you know, Mike Kanellis.
I know. He needs to start a story.
Or a tie or something like that.
That's if they do that, that's a really easy way for someone to get lost in the shuffle. If they don't have a story.
I know, exactly.
So we need him injected in a story next week.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. From what I understand, Vince really loves him some Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyways,
shall we answer some questions?
Yeah, why don't you pull them up? Like I said, I'm going to take a look at the patrons, the new patrons we've had.
We have a lot of questions this week.
Well, we never answer them all, so just look, man. You guys on the Patreon, you got to remember to upvote.
Wow, this might be the most upranked, upvoted question ever from Eddie Jose Glorious Menavar. Glorious power rankings times. Top five superstars Bobby Roode should feud with first. Number one's AJ Styles, right?
Yeah.
AJ for the U.S. title.
Yeah,
two, Sami Zayn. I think the Sami Zayn's kind of everyman appeal
mm-hmm.
would pair nicely against Bobby Roode.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to read these patrons, and then we'll do more questions. That was just a tease of the questions.
Well, we've got to even finish our power rankings still. Whoa.
What, power rankings? Oh, we're supposed to power
Let's
rankings.
Finish these power rankings.
Five.
Yeah, all we right, have two.
AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Ty Dillinger. Pick up the NXT thread. Why not?
Yes, agreed. That's what I was saying last time. You're like, that's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you it's not going to happen, but I'm throwing you a bone as well. Dolph. Dolph comes out in the glorious gimmick. Because he said that's what you need, a robe. So
okay.
Bobby Roode comes out and says, you are not glorious NWO. Five.
Mojo Rawley.
Oh. Okay. These are the new patrons for the week. I want to say thank you to everybody for putting in your money on Going In Raw and help supporting the show. Without you guys, couldn't do it. The King of Lazy Style, Zach Fuller. Wicked Raven 13, WWE King 97, Stephen Kuipers, Nick Kelly, Anas Gulman, King of Woke Style, Kaya White, Josh Patz, Chase, Richard Nason, Brian Jankowski, Jay Kujowski, Christian Caputo, Marcus Giles, the true King of Hoss Mighty Quinn is back, because I remember that name, Corey Too Sweet Me, Zachary Mathers, Christopher Antonio Cavett, Casey Graves, Jason Bunda De Silva, Thomas McDonald's, or McDonald's, Jay Patel, Nick Tate, Alto Votalhe, Joshua Montano, Trey Garrow, Matt McCarty, and Suds.
Sorry, the question here is pretty funny.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll get to that in a second. Hamza Halal, should Baron Corbin retire as a wrestler and become a full-time referee?
Yes! And he quits before the end of every match.
Well, he becomes a ref, and then, yeah, once he realizes that there's actually work involved, he just
right.
quits.
Exactly. It's perfect.
All right. CM Punk finds it insulting.
Oh, no. My Patreon is not working. What's going
on
here?
Becky Lynch start rolling her eyes to the back of her head when she uses the disarm her?
Yes. That's great. That would be fantastic.
Oh, goodness. Whew. King of Hostile, Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey, friendos. With Shelton being back and being out in a tag team with Gable, you think that team will stay together? I don't know why, but I suspect someone turning heel. No, they're going to be together for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I'm really excited for that. Whew. Now I got to clear my cookies, apparently, to get to Patreon.
What?
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's weird.
It's very annoying.
Gimmickless Drew Q. Hey, friendos, how do you see the rest of AJ's title reign playing out? Who will dethrone the Phenomenal One and when? Bobby Roode, no later in Survivor Series.
Yeah, because AJ is going to go up to the world title scene after Shinsuke gets it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Glorious.
Suds, mm-hmm. New patron here. Do we just get a better American Alpha?
Yeah. I was thinking, okay, so what should their tag team name be? World's Best Alpha. World's Best Alphas. World Alpha. Because that was Shelton Benjamin's
world's greatest tag team. Yeah, I know.
The Golden Alpha. The Standard Alpha. The Gold Standard Alpha.
You're closer, maybe.
American
Probably not.
Standard. Wasn't that a toilet? American
yeah,
Standard.
It is. That guy, Asuka versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Book it. Asuka versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Asuka goes to the main. She wins the Raw Women's title, wins the SmackDown Women's title.
Wins the Universal title.
And she just starts wanting to win all the titles. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
What's going on with your...
I don't know, man.
I guess I'm reading all the questions today.
Yeah, you are.
You got a lot of upvoted questions today. My
good. That's good, man, because I put the word upvote three times. Look, upvote.
You did. Nathan Ragland. Dolph said some stuff about music and dancing and stuff, crapping on it all. Where do you think this is leading to? I think it's setting up for the debut of his favorite wrestler, No Way Jose.
I mean, I would love that.
Yeah, me too.
I think it'd be fantastic. And I think No Way Jose needs to come up. That'd be great.
Jack Dolan, why do they keep building Becky feuds, he mentions Ellsworth and Cyborg, and not follow through on them?
Well, that was just a Twitter thing.
I know, but Ellsworth, you know, she said in interviews that she was down to have a match against him.
Yeah, I know, but you know they're not going to have a...
Oh, I know.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do it.
Jose GGR. Hey, friendos. Is there any worse gimmick match than special guest referee?
Yeah, there's worse. Oh, yeah. There's plenty worse. Iron Man match.
Well, it depends on the participants.
Name another bad one. Elimination Chamber. Has there ever been a great Elimination Chamber
match? I don't know.
There's been very good Elimination Chamber matches. There's never been, like, a great... Those are too much of a cluster.
Yeah. Empire of Cleanliness.
Blindfold match.
Yeah, that's the worst. Empire of Cleanliness, Andrew Mullen. So he's going to see Hell in a Cell live this coming October. He's very excited since this will be the first his first live wrestling event. However, I have to make a trek back to school and get up for an 8 o'clock class. How would you guys recommend getting out of there in a timely fashion and working out a schedule for the optimal amount of sleep? I don't know how far away you have to drive for Hell in a Cell, and that's kind of a major thing. Like, if you have a 2-hour drive ahead of you, or where the case may be. Because usually, where is Hell in a Cell? On the East Coast somewhere?
Probably. I have no idea. I don't know.
Because it depends what time it gets out. Because it's on the East Coast. It is in Detroit, so that's Central Standard Time, I believe. So it'll end at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So if you live in the Detroit area, I would suspect you could get home by 11 at the latest.
Yeah.
And that's 9 hours before your class. You should be good.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But if you have to drive further, then...
Just like, man, make sure you're covered. That guy. Are you guys just... What's his question?
How would you guys recommend getting out of there in a timely fashion?
He's talking about optimal amount of sleep. Are you talking about Andrew Mullen?
Yeah. And working out a schedule for the optimal amount of sleep before 8 o'clock
sleep
class.
You need.
Yeah, that's another thing, too.
A lot of, you know, some guys need a lot of sleep. Some guys can operate on...
You need six. I work better at least 7 or 8.
I should have 8. I work better at 8, but I can do 6. That guy, are you guys as disappointed as I was that we missed an opportunity for an American Alpha faction rather than just another tag team sending Jordan to Raw right before they signed Benjamin? I kind of do.
Yeah.
I still stand by my heel American Alpha led by Shelton Benjamin faction.
That would be good.
Great.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Who are 3 mid to lower card New Japan wrestlers that could be WWE Universal Champion WWE, and who are 3 mid to lower card WWE wrestlers that could be IWGP Heavyweight Champion in New Japan?
Okay, so lower mid card? Lower mid card in
mid,
New Japan?
Mid to lower card.
Mid? Okay, so New Japan mid card that can be Universal Champion?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, that was the first one that came to mind.
He's a mid carder.
He's a mid carder.
Ricochet.
Yeah.
He's a mid carder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those promo problems, though. I don't know. He's got a weak voice, man. Loose Explosion.
No. Suzuki, he's a mid-carder.
You think he's a mid-carder?
Well, I mean, he has a mid-card title right now.
He has a faction named after him.
I guess not.
He's an
I just want to see him.
He just had a world title shot like a couple months ago.
I know, sometimes mid-carders
are
elevated.
He's a champion right now.
A mid-card champion.
That guy's a upper mid-card.
Okay, upper mid-card. Michael Elgin.
He's mid-card.
Yeah.
Great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Universal champion. And that belt would look great with his outfit.
3 WWE mid to lower card wrestlers who could be IWGP champion. Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of guys they don't use.
What was that?
Dry swallows make me laugh so much. When people dry swallow, it cracks me up. IWGP. Well, anybody, Finn Balor, he's in the mid card.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So who's he feuding with right now? Who did he just fight?
Oh, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
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 Do a couple more and we'll do trivia.
Okay. Okay.
Dick Knuckle.
You idiot.
Is it time to stop blaming creative? Some people just don't have it, and some people, like Chris Jericho, can pretty much get anything over.
Some people, very few people can get anything over, but most people, even the most successful ones, need something behind them in terms of creative. So, no, we can keep on blaming. I'm sorry if you have a friend in creative. That is there.
Sorry, Dick Knuckle.
I mean, sorry, Dick Knuckle. Oh, man. the glorious Steve Klein. Hey, friendos, do you think this current roster is the greatest of all time in WWE history?
I would say in terms of in-ring performance, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of what they can do in the ring, absolutely.
Ty Dingleberry, Power Rank members, this is a really good question. This could be a count-out. Members of factions that were only members to do jobs. Number one's Virgil. Number one is absolutely Virgil.
Yeah.
Literally the man just came out the job on Thunder.
Yeah.
So Virgil, who is the jobber in X Factor?
Well, there's two of them or three? It was X-Pac, it was Albert.
And Justin Credible, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Justin Credible?
I guess that'd be Justin
Credible. Who did you think number three was?
I couldn't remember. That's why I asked.
Oh, okay. I mean, that was like a job squad right there.
Pretty much.
Okay. Wolfpack NWO. Who took the jobs there?
Disco Inferno.
Yes. Literally, he was just there to job. DX would be X-Pac.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Road Dogg, if it was like a solo thing.
Yeah.
Road Dogg.
What about let's go to each of the New Japan factions. Bullet Club's Chase Owens.
Oh yeah, if he's even lucky enough to get into a match.
Chaos.
Miyano eats a lot of losses.
So does Yoshihashi though.
Yoshihashi's in Chaos.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, Yoshihashi.
Taguchi
Japan. I mean, L.I.J., it's Sonata or Bushi.
Yeah. What about Suzuki-gun?
Maybe
Taka?
Or Taichi?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of jobbers in that. It's just Suzuki doesn't job. Everybody else jobs except for Zack Sabre Jr.
I know.
Oh, that's a great question, though. Let's see here. One more question. Oh. Bri2J maybe is what he's saying. Since most arenas are filled with Bullet Club t-shirts, although I read somewhere on Twitter, and I'm not going to say this is true or not, because I don't have a source.
Oh, but people hadn't turned them inside out?
You don't think that's true?
Well, someone responded to that rumor saying no.
Yeah, just look at the crowd.
Yeah.
You can see Bullet Club shirts. Yeah. His question is, since most arenas are filled with Bullet Club t-shirts, could you see WWE countering with the brand new strong faction, and who would you have in it?
An uphill climb.
I think it'd be more like Vince saying, "Who's designing our crap? Design better." If you have cool look at half the people that wear Bullet Club shirts, half the people that are buying them in Hot Topic, probably more than half, don't even know what Bullet Club is. It's just a really cool looking shirt.
Yeah.
Same with the Young Bucks. Same with the Code. They're all thematic. They all look cool.
Yeah.
People don't care what they're about. They just want cool-looking stuff.
Yeah. A lot of WWE merchandise does not look good.
Nothing as iconic as a Bullet Club.
No.
I mean, no. That's why they tried to rip them off with the club.
I know. All right, Steve.
Yes. Yes! Hey, time for trivia. Ooh, mamma mia.
This week, we have Attitude and Modern Era.
Break it down, man.
Let's start with Attitude. Are you ready?
Suck it.
Yeah. Big events.
Oh, big events.
What superstar returned to WWE at Survivor Series 2002, attacking both Matt Hardy and Christopher Nowinski?
He returned in 2002?
Uh-huh.
Attacking who?
Matt Hardy and Chris Nowinski.
I thought you said I was going to do good at this. He returned in 2002?
Yes, I need an answer, please.
He returned in 2002. Attacking who? Chris Nowinski?
And Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy?
Yes.
Were they on the same team?
Oh, my gosh. Just answer the question.
Hold on a second. He returned in 2002. He attacked Matt Hardy? Undertaker? Is it Undertaker?
Scott Steiner.
Oh, really? That's
yes.
That's how he returned?
Yeah.
That was... Boxing events. Did you switch our cards? Because you're going to get all these. What boxing legend served, served as the special outside enforcer for the WWE Championship match at Mania 14?
Mike Tyson.
Yes.
One for me.
Okay.
Championships. At the 1999 Royal Rumble, who did The Rock defeat in an I Quit match to win the WWE Championship
Mankind.
For a second time? Says Mick Foley, but okay.
Championships. What superstar created as a parody of WCW champion Goldberg?
Oh, Gilbert.
He didn't even bother to read the second clause there.
Superstar bio.
Superstar bio.
What superstar and former WCW champion went by the name Big Papa Pump?
There's two Scott Steiners on the same card?
Yeah.
It's weird. Superstar bio. What tag team both taunted and delighted WWE audiences with their 5-second poses for the benefit of those with
Edge and Christian.
Flash photography.
Edge and Christian. We're on to modern era.
Modern age.
Big events.
Big events.
What WWE superstar fought three legends, Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, and Roddy Piper, in a handicap match at WrestleMania 25?
Break the walls down!
Correct.
Chris Jericho. Big events.
You got to put up a... There you go.
What WWE superstar faced Akebono in a sumo match?
Well! Sorry, that was loud, everybody.
Big show.
Championships. Who defeated John Cena in a Hell in a Cell match in October 2009 become a WWE champion for the fifth time?
In 2009?
Yeah.
Hell in a Cell?
Correct.
2009?
Yes.
Became WWE champion for a fifth time?
Uh-huh.
Edge?
Randy Orton.
Whatever. Championships.
Championships.
Who cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase and defeated the Big Show?
Well...
For the World Heavyweight Championship at TLC 2011.
Daniel Bryan.
Very good.
Superstar bio. What WWE superstar was known to spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool?
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Correct.
Carlito.
Ooh, I can get a clean sweep here. Last question, please.
Why do you have six up already?
I'm just saying I can get six.
Put your six
up. No, one. Ask it. Ask the question.
Who is... Cody Rhodes' brother.
Gold Dust.
Very good.
Six.
You get two.
I'm going to grab this stack right here. Who do I get?
You get two. You get list of cards. Oh.
Dun, 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 dun. Sean!
HBKFC.
And Rhino.
And boo.
What's wrong with Rhino?
Name? Terry something or other? Terry Gurdon? Gordon?
Something like that.
Gurdon.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Guerin.
Patrons Guerin. Here in chat. Stick around for chat trivia.
Yep. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.